Libby Gray is in for a kōrero today, one of the hosts of a podcast and Taonga Pōro focus for the Haumanu Collective. Ororua is the name of the podcast. We always love talking about Taonga Pōro and the role that it is playing in our sense of pride in our musical traditions. Tēnā koe, Libby, ko dai o tēnei. Mauri ora ki a koe, no mai, e te tuhine, tēnā koe.
Tēnā koe o tira, tēnā tātou.
Kia ora, Libby. I've had some interesting kōrero over the years with some of our wonderful exponents of Taonga Pōro. I'm really pleased to see that we're getting more wahine who are celebrating the voices of our past and our present. So thank you for joining us today, Libby. Can we just start with a little bit of kōrero about yourself, Libby? Where did you grow up and where did the interest in Taonga Pōro for you stem from?
Yeah. I grew up in Napier. I come from lots of places, Ngāti Rehia, Ngāti Iwe Pōhatu, down the Whanganui River, Tamaupoko, and Ngāti Tū Wharetoa. Long story short on my journey, my log journey with Taonga Pōro is a series of events in my upbringing led me to my continued passion for Taonga Pōro at the University of Waikato. I took a paper there under the tutelage of Rangiria Headley, who was a stalwart alongside a tauira of Hedini Melbourne, and that's where I learnt how to everything about Taonga Pōro and the whakapapa of Taonga Pōro. But my turn of events was when I sprained an ankle at Indoor Netball and went back to Rangiria, and she said, jump on that couch, grabbed out a pūkaia and played the pūkaia for about half an hour. I knew it was a bad sprain, but and I knew I was going to be off my feet for a few days. So to then wake up the following day after that Taonga Pōro session and be walking again, I thought, this is pretty odd. So, I guess I pursued it more from the Taonga Pōro He Rongoā point of view.
So it was the healing power of the sound that first got you intrigued rather than the sound itself.
Yeah, well, I had been doing Taonga Pōro for a while, but my everyday Taonga Pōro passion stemmed from it as being a healing tool.
Mm. I'm pleased to consider it in that way too, because obviously we're used to appreciating their unique sounds, our Taonga Pōro, but it's not often that we talk about the healing nature of sound waves. Shed some more kōrero about that, if you would, please.
Yeah, well, I think with Rangiria and the Taonga Pōro, we are able to communicate, yeah? So we're not just musical instruments. Our Taonga Pōro are not just musical instruments, they're instruments of communication. And we know this through our pūrākau, our kōrero. Hinemoa Te Tainakai, for example, Te Tainakai playing the kōauau, Hinemoa hearing that, he was communicating to whomever wants to listen, I guess, and Hinemoa heard the call. The same thing goes with it as being a rongoā. We communicate with different parts of the tinana. We have this intimate connection with our atua. We are descendants of our atua, so why not be able to communicate with the different ao, right? And so for the way I see it is Rangiria communicated with my tinana to say, hey, get well, get better, get this girl walking again, and that's what happened.
When we look at our the way our history musically has been written of or catalogued, it seems at times, Libby, and I'd like your thoughts here on, we maybe have been misrepresented. Music ethnographers historically have tended to suggest that we were devoid of melody in pre-European, that we were used to our chants, our motetea, the sounds of nature, but that we didn't have melodic scales. The use of kōauau, which brings in not necessarily that musical scale, but obviously goes against the dirge sound that some music ethnographers suggested was the hallmark of Māori music pre-contact.
Yeah. I laugh at that, whakaaro, because, and I take these words from Jerome, one of our members of Haumanu Collective, Jerome Kavanagh. He spoke about the Western musical scale and how you just said, do, re, mi, fa, so, la, ti, do, you. That scale, if we are talking, Māori, just with the ho, we have, it goes beyond, if not, like, it just smashes it out of the park in terms of the reo o te ho, and that's just Tāwhiri Mātea. So if we go outside and sat in the forest, we could hear different voices that exceed that Western musical scale. So, yeah, I would have to disagree with those ethnographers.
And fair enough, too. It's like we were living in a black and white world, but we were well and truly living in a colourful world. Mm-hmm. You've got some colourful colleagues too with the Haumanu Collective. You launched the first podcast with Te Papa last Wednesday. Can you tell us about that experience and what you hope the collective will contribute going forward?
Yeah, well, Haumanu Collective is a group of tangapuro enthusiasts, practitioners and makers of tangapuro, here to retain, remember, normalise tangapuro in the whare. And so a part of that mahi is every year we do something for the ao, for the motu. Last year we released our website, www.haumanucollective.com, and this year we released our podcast. And we did that at Te Papa last week on Wednesday. We did that at Te Papa and we coupled it with lots of workshops for the public to be a part of. And it started before the sun came up with karakia, then we had a whakatau, and a series of workshops, one being toi hei rongoa, we had pūrākau, how to make tonga, how to compose waiata. We had our members there to ask questions about tangapuro. We had the Haumanu collection from Te Papa out on display for people to talk to and to talk whakapapa. Overall, it was an amazing day. Then we came back for the performance at night and we were joined with some amazing pūro enthusiasts with the end being the release of our podcast. So Ororua has season one, Kapai season one, with 14 episodes, and our first episode was our kōka Aroha Yates Smith. And you know, we couldn't have done any of this without our kaitautoko, our sponsors, MCH and CNZ, so e mihi ana kia rātou, mā. I feel like we are culturally reclaiming mātauranga Māori through wānanga, and I feel anyone who is doing anything with ao Māori, reo Māori, mātauranga Māori, tikanga Māori, is doing the same thing. Yeah, we're just doing it from a tangapuro point of view. Does that answer your question?
You're like our Māori All Blacks with tangapuro. The advance guard. In fact, I had a wonderful conversation, I think it was a week or two back, to be honest, just with Jerome. And we were talking about playing with Western instrumentation because, you know, years ago when I spoke with Richard, he was saying how they can't write tangapuro, they leave gaps in orchestration arrangements or the like, Libby. So there's some improvisation that occurs there during those pieces because they didn't know how to write for tangapuro. And I heard a little thing the other day, but it's sort of gone out of my head, and it was to do with using our nasal passages for musical kaupapa. And that there's, in some ways, more of a purity because of that. Can you explain that, Libby? Does that ring any bells to you?
Yeah, it does. I always knew, I guess, when we think about the hongi or the hariru, we're using the purest part of the hau or the ha. And it was there, it was in Tahiti where I had that affirmed when we were talking Tongapuru with our whānau in Raiatea. And they said, you know, well, we can talk smack out of our mouths, but we can't talk smack out of our noses. And so that's why the ha from our ihu is the most purest. And so when I play the pongaihu, the nose flute or the nose instrument, I'm reminded of that.
And it's a lovely description too. When I first heard it, I thought, hey, that's true, because as you're saying, we can, and I often do, talk smack out of my mouth, but our ihu is quite different. Look, congratulations on where you guys are at as a collective, and like I say, I just take my hat off to you because you're a team like no other, yourself and James and Morimono and many others, Ruby.
Pāmihana and āwhina and Hiniwirangi, aye.
Yeah, kia ora, just wonderful advocates for the beauty of our Taungapuru. Congratulations on your first podcast. I'm sure there'll be a lot of interest, and I'll be linking to have a listen to it, mostly a listen myself. Mm-hmm. Been great catching up with you, Libby. Thanks for sharing some kōrero about the Haumanu Collective.
Yeah, tēnā tātou.
Kia ora ngā mihi. Libby Gray with us, host of the Ororua Haumanu Collective. First podcast released last Wednesday, and more